I'm supposed to use this. Can you hear me? Testing, testing. And only because Brother Jeannie's now taping me for all prosperity.
Now I think it's working.
Oh.
Wait, I have to remember how to handle it. So much for all my education, absolutely. Those of you in the back, I think it's a Catholic phenomenon that you sit in the back, right? But up here, just so you know, you can't see it, there is a portable air conditioner that two of our parishioners bought. So they just brought it in and put it up today. So I just want you to know, we're missing out back here. So the first will be last, the last will be first, right? Anyway. But I also wanted to take a moment and welcome Alicia and her children. Alicia called me last week and said she didn't know that we were here. And I said, please come and join us. And so here she is. So welcome, Alicia. Welcome. It's nice to have you here. We're a growing parish, and so be part of this. You might have seen Robert stumble around up here. Robert told me, I said, how are you doing? He said, not so good. I broke my toe. And then I said, would you do the first reading? And then, of course, there was an obstacle course up here. There's the new air conditioner, and then there's the new microphone. So to catch some of the beautiful voices of our choir, please join us, right? Please join us. We have choir practice on Mondays. We don't do much practice, but we have a lot of fun. So come and join us. And welcome to all of you. These readings today they're somewhat difficult in many ways. 2 weeks ago in the gospel, we heard Jesus saying to us, knock and it shall be opened, ask and you shall receive. And then this week we hear, if you knock, I'm going to send you away. It sounds a bit of a contradiction there. But the readings today all, I think, speak to us in many ways about how God surprises us. We've been reading the Gospel of Luke in year C, and we've been talking about one of the important theological dimensions of the Gospel of Luke is the great reversal, how Luke really uses his Gospel to say to us, be careful, because God doesn't think the way that we think, and so that the humbled will be raised up, and those who are proud will be bowed down. It is a reminder to you and I in many ways to understand our relationships with God, who God is for us, and who we are to each other. It keeps us in right relationships with each other. It's an amazing gospel. It is a gospel that is shot through with the virtue of humility. And many of us, I think, mistake humility for humiliation. They're not the same thing. Humility and the etymology, the roots of the words may be the same, but humility comes from the Hebrew humus for dirt. It means to stand firmly where we are at. It means to know in many ways who we are in our good moments and in our not so good moments. It allows us to know that we have the grace to be all that God has called us to be. And so the Gospel of Luke reminds us of that all of the time. In the first reading that we have from Isaiah today, we hear how Isaiah is warning the people of Israel much the way that Jesus is saying to his questioners in this gospel, be careful. Just because you believe in Yahweh, or just because you believe that Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity and the Son of God, does not mean that you're going to be saved. Because God can draw people from any place and bring them to himself. You are my special people because I've entered in a covenant with you. And in that covenant, we have promised to each other a sense of faithfulness. And so God, in using the prophet Isaiah, is reminding the people of Israel that he has called us to be a righteous people. And to be a righteous people means three things: to care for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. In essence, it is to pay attention to who are the vulnerable in society, who are the honoreen, who are the remnant of the people of God that stayed faithful. And Isaiah is saying, is listen to me, right? Is I can get people from Tarshish. God bless Robert, read all those names. I would have just mumbled through them. But I can get people from everywhere. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, I can make praises come from these stones, right? That so God is reminding us is that if you're not careful about how it is that you treat the people around you, then you should pay attention that you're probably not giving me the worship that's necessary, right? he says to us, I have enough sacrifices of bullocks. What I want from you is a humble and contrite heart. And so Isaiah reminds the people of Israel, as he reminds you and I today, right? That God calls us into community with each other, and we are then bound by that love of God, which God is always faithful to and which we're invited to be faithful to. Then in the reading from Hebrews, the author of the letter of Hebrews reminds us, his hearers and us, that a bruised reed God will not break, right? But that if we shore ourselves up and if we kind of go along the straight and narrow, that our faulty ways will be healed, right? And the straight and narrow doesn't necessarily mean a overly scrupulous or moralistic path. It means trying to discern in our prayer with God what is the next right thing for us to do. And so the author of the letter of the Hebrews is reminding the hearers there, is that in all of the moments of our weakness, give that to God and let God bring us strength in that. Later, although St. Paul didn't write the letter of the Hebrews, Paul reminds us, right, that it is in our weakness where we are strong, that it is in the cross of Christ that we glory. And so it's a paradox for us that Luke upholds again and again in the gospel. And then in the gospel of Luke, we have Jesus steadfastly going to Jerusalem. The gospel of Luke is somewhat like a spiritual geography. Jesus is making steady progress towards Jerusalem. What happens in Jerusalem? On the hill of Golgotha, right? His crucifixion. So Jesus is purposeful in his journeys in the Gospel of Luke, and he gradually makes his way towards Jerusalem. And so he's going around preaching in the towns as he makes his way to Jerusalem, and he's stopped by some segments of the people who really believe that there is only themselves and their friends who are going to be saved. And so the question is not a genuine question because it has an agenda behind it. And so anytime you and I ask a question that has an agenda behind it, it's a disingenuous question. It's not a real question. But these people come up, and in many ways we see how many of the gospel stories show us how people who question Jesus in an attempt to trap him really are trapped themselves by their own question. So Jesus doesn't answer it because he knows from where the question comes. These people want to be validated in their belief that they're the only ones to be saved because they follow all of the prescriptions of the law. They do everything that they're told to do in the law. And Jesus then says to them, much the way that Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says to the people of Israel in captivity, be careful, be very careful, right? Because you think that you know me and that you lay up all of these burdens on other people, when in reality what God asks us to do for each other is to lighten those burdens. At the heart of the holiness code of Leviticus is this commandment: love the Lord your God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul and your neighbor like yourself. That's at the heart of the holiness code. And so when these people are asking Jesus who will be saved, there's only a few of us who will be saved, Jesus is saying, be careful, be very careful. Because if you're not really living what is at the heart of the holiness code, then your salvation isn't assured to you, right? And so Jesus is saying to them, God's commandment is to love one another, right? It isn't to love one another in a way that allows us to not pay attention to the needs of the people in our community. God warns them that to follow the law, to follow the letter of the law, may be somewhat empty. To follow the spirit of the law, which requires that we somehow engage ourselves in real and meaningful relationships with the people in whom we move and breathe and have our being, that might really be at the heart of the law. And so as we hear this gospel, Jesus then uses this parable to say, right, that when you come and knock on the door, the master of the house will say, I don't recognize you, I don't know who you are, right? And then we're going to say to them, but we partied with you, right? We had a good time with you, right? And Jesus is going to say, but I still don't know who you are. And the reality is that I think for us, we got it here on Sundays in many ways because I think that something inside of us speaks about the reality of God drawing us closer into a relationship with God. So that as we come here on Sundays and we spend this time with each other, or we gather at holy grounds, or we gather at a picnic or a barbecue, what we're really doing is getting to know each other. And in the midst of that experience, we're getting to know who God might be for us, a dimension of who God might be for us in our community. And so when we come here, we spend time in prayer, we spend time listening to the Word of God. You so patiently listen to my homilies, and I appreciate that. But what we try to do here is come to know who God might be for us and to let ourselves be known to God. It is a very vulnerable position to be put in. Many of us don't like that position. Many of us want to think that maybe because we do what we're supposed to do, that that's where our salvation is. But St. Augustine reminds us and warns us that there's nothing that we can do to add or detract from that salvific act on Calvary, that all of our sins were nailed to the cross once and for all. And so we don't want to fall into the heresy of Pelagianism, which suggests that we need to work for our own salvation. That's a gift that's freely given to us. Jesus is saying to the people here, accept this gift. But the acceptance of the gift, you have to wear it like a loose garment. There are not rules and regulations for everything. Some things have to grow from your relationship with me, from your knowledge of my love for you and your love for me. Sometimes those things have to move us, not so much the law and the prophets, but how does God's love move in a real way? I was sharing with Dorothy outside, there's a Dominican friar in Australia who generally writes beautiful reflections on the Gospels. And this morning I was reading his reflections because sometimes I get some ideas. And so he was saying to us who were reading this, and probably in his sermon today in Australia, he was saying that Jesus was warning these people that that your salvation isn't going to come from following man-made laws, right? That your salvation is going to come from by knowing who God is for you and a personal relationship with God. And then he goes on to say that that sometimes we as Catholics like to pick and choose. We like to be cafeteria Catholics. And that if we don't follow the rules of the church, we might not be saved. And I wanted to scream, hold a mirror up. What are you saying, right? You're saying the same thing, right? That if we're following something that doesn't resonate with our experience of the love of God, then maybe salvation isn't in that for us, right? And so that as we come here, hopefully to St. Francis, we can experience this all-embracing love of God that accepts each and every one of us for who we are, but challenges us to be better people, right? It doesn't ever leave us untouched, right? But as we move in this way, we come to here, hopefully, understand that what Jesus is saying to these people who are asking who's going to be saved, he's saying the same thing to us, is be careful, just be careful. Listen to my words, meet me in prayer, linger with me for a while, listen to what I have to say to you. The gate is narrow, right? But it's not impassable. Right? And so as you move, all of God's call to us is not without some sacrifice on our part. And I think that's the thing that Jesus is saying, is that what is it that you have to leave behind that gives you so much certainty about your salvation? And move closer to me in faith. Step out in faith. Let go a little bit, right? Trust me. And so the message today, I think, is that for us, is that those of us who are last may be first, those of us who maybe were ostracized or somehow feel outside of the experience of God's love, in this gospel, he's saying that's not true. And it's never been true, right? And so that the people who think they have been called, maybe they're not. Or maybe they're not called in the way that they think they are, and that a real conversion experience will help them reorient themselves to my love in their life. Not one of us falls outside of the experience of God's love, ever, ever, ever. Even in our arrogance, if we think we know everything, God still surprises us sometimes and turns our hearts and catches us by surprise and says, that's not really what I meant, right? Listen to really what I meant. And so today, as we move forward, let's try to hold on to that. That the invitation of God's love for us is always to step out in faith, to let go of what we think we know, to let go of our certainty, to let go of our certitude, and perhaps let be embraced by God's love for us, and so that we step out in faith. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.